Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. All right, Johnston. Well, welcome to the podcast. We're really excited to have you with us today to kind of chat about foster care and adoption. Before we kind of get into that conversation, though, I want to ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners. So if you could tell us a little bit about you, about your family, where we can find you on a daily basis, what you do for work, those types of things, just so we can get to know a little bit about you.
Sure. My name is Johnston Moore, and I live in Richmond, Virginia. My wife and I have been, my wife Terry and I have been married for 34 years. I want to make sure I get that right. And we actually have 7 children. We adopted all 7 of our children from the Los Angeles County foster care system. And they range in age. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you their names. I won't tell you all their ages, but oldest is Ashley. She lives down in Georgia. Then we have our son, Chris. Chris and his wife, Savannah, have been married a little over 2 years, just had a little baby boy. And his name is Hudson. And they live about 15 minutes from us in the Richmond area. And then our son, Anthony and Christina. Anthony is married to Christina. They've been married for 3 years, and they live out in Long Beach, California. Then we have our daughter, Brandy. Brandy is out in Las Vegas. She has a little boy, Brandon, a little girl, Sadie. And then we have our daughter, Aruna. She lives in the Richmond area. And we have 2 daughters still at home. Our daughter, Hallie, is a junior in high school. And our daughter, Emily, is a 7th grader. And they both go to Banner Christian Schools here in the Richmond area. Where you can find me on a daily basis, for the most part, I'm home. I work from home. I love working from home. So that gives me a lot of flexibility. In helping the girls with homework, helping make dinner or making dinner and running errands and things like that, but also getting my work done as well. I also do a fair amount of travel to conferences where I'll speak in the United States, various places. I just got back from Alabama where I spoke at a conference, and I love doing that too, but I also really love being home. So as far as my work is concerned, I'm an independent contractor. So right now, my main contract is with a homeless ministry on the West Coast. They've been around for 90 years, and they're a Christian ministry. And I love working for them. I do a lot of writing and consulting for them. And they send me projects, and they just say, hey, can you write this, or can you edit this, or whatever. And they'll give me a deadline, and they don't care when I do the work as long as I meet the deadline. So I'll do it in the middle of the day. I'll do it at night. I'll do it whenever I can. And I've just really been blessed by that opportunity to work for them. And we've been doing that for several years, and I hope to continue to do that for several more. I'm also the adoption and orphan care specialist for Anglicans for Life. And I'm really enjoying my time with AFL and helping bring foster care and adoption issues to the Anglican Church of North America. And I also have written for various other ministries and consulted and and spoken at events for various other ministries, including Focus on the Family, Christian Alliance for Orphans, and many more. What am I passionate about? I am passionate about seeing the church, God's people, stand up and care for vulnerable children. That's something that I wasn't passionate about 35 years ago, but I am now. And that's something that the Holy Spirit has done in my life. And I know sometimes I can't shut up about it. And I'm not sure that's always a good thing. But you can guarantee that 5 minutes into a conversation with other Christians, I'm talking foster care and adoption. And so it's something that, yeah, I can't not talk about it. Also passionate about my family. I absolutely adore my family. Very close with my parents as well. They live about an hour away, and they're extremely supportive of what we do through foster care and adoption and our ministry. Mother-in-law is in the same town, and we get to see her, and that's great. Got two brothers, and a whole bunch of cousins, et cetera, but, yeah, I love family. I love talking to people. I love meeting people. I love hearing their stories. I'm also very passionate about food. I'm a foodie. And so I love to travel, and I remember trips from where I ate. So,
I love
yeah,
it.
Food is the way to my heart too. So yeah, that's a little bit about me, I guess.
Well, I love kind of your description of yourself, because I always say, like, whatever you're passionate about really flows into your life. That's how you can tell that somebody is really passionate about something. And you can tell, I mean, from the way that you talk about your kids, the fact that you have adopted all of them from the foster care system, you can tell that the Lord really, I'm kind of interested to hear more about that and how the Lord worked on your heart. So obviously you believe that adoption is something that you are called to, and that you and your wife are called to and your family is called to, but can you talk to me a little bit about how you think God calls all of us to care for the orphan?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If everything had gone according to God's original design, there would be no need for adoption because, you know, as God created the world, it was perfect. And man and woman were intended to live in perfect community with one another and perfect community with God, and were to be fruitful and multiply and have their children. And everything was going to be great. But then sin entered the world. And so we have broken relationships with God and with others, and we have broken families able to be raised according to God's design. And so you have children that have lost their parents due to death. You have children in foster care whose parents were unable to properly care for them. You know, because of maybe substance abuse issues or domestic violence issues or things like that. And so children are neglected, they're abused, they're abandoned. They're not being raised as God intended. And so very oftentimes we need new families for these children. And these new families may be temporary through foster care, or they may be permanent through adoption. It's clear when you read scripture that God cares about vulnerable children. He talks about the fatherless over and over. He talks about orphans. You know, James 1:27 says that pure and undefiled religion is caring for widows and orphans in their distress. And throughout the Old Testament, you just see God's heart just coming through over and over. And you also see his desire for his people to care for these kids. It's very, very clear that we as Christians are called to love others. We're called to love our neighbor. The Good Samaritan story tells us that our neighbor is not necessarily that person that you would normally associate with. And so these vulnerable, hurting children in our own city and in our own backyards and across the country, God expects us to care for them and meet their needs. That's what he calls his church to do. And so if we're able and we feel you know, after prayerful consideration, we believe that that God is calling us to do this, we need to be willing to open our homes to these kids. And adoption itself is a picture of the gospel. I mean, we read in Ephesians 1 and Galatians 4, I believe it is, that's how we are brought into God's family. And so when we adopt children, it's a picture of God's redemptive work in the world. And so I am absolutely, I will, yeah, I mean, I will, I'm absolutely certain that this is, God's call on the church is to care for these children and in whatever way they need. And adoption is what many of them need.
I agree with you. I think that adoption definitely is a picture of the gospel. And I think that currently the church needs to get in this fight more than ever, because of what we have seen happen in our country in the past 2 months with the Dobbs decision and essentially Roe versus Wade being overturned and the abortion decisions going back to the states. So in some states, I believe that adoption is going to become more necessary than ever. And there are going to be a lot of kids who need families to care for them. So how do you think that the current state of our country and the Roe versus Wade reversal affect how much adoption is needed? Do you think that the need has increased? Do you think that it's the same? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's hard to really predict right now, but I think the need will increase. I think that more and more we're going to see women who formerly had three choices now have two, and those choices are to raise that child, or to ask a relative to raise the child, or to place the child for adoption. Now, there's oftentimes been a stigma associated with adoption. We as Christians need to help get rid of that stigma because, again, I mean, like we talked about, if adoption is the way that God brings us into His family, then we really can't attach a stigma to that word. I mean, it's a picture of the gospel itself, and so this is something that needs to be seen in a positive light, and it is being seen more and more in a positive light in recent years, more so than it used to be. I believe that many women will choose to place their children for adoption, and the church needs to be ready. I mean, right now we have in foster care there are over 400,000 children in foster care in the United States, and over 100,000 of those children are waiting for adoptive homes right now. Now we have more churches than children waiting, and so for me as a Christian, I'm really saddened by that. I mean, why is it that we have over 100,000 children in foster care waiting for families when we have a biblical call to care for these kids, and we've got millions and millions and tens of millions of Christians, many of whom have room in their homes to do this and the ability to do this, and yet these kids go waiting, and many of them age out each year without age out of the foster care system each year without permanent families, and so. I believe that yes, there will be more children that need adoptive families, but we're also going to need a change within the church culture, and it needs to be something that we really value as God values. And frankly, I believe I'm going to step on some toes here. I believe men are the problem. I believe men are the problem. Very oftentimes, we'll hear from wives who say, "I really feel like." God wants us to adopt, but my husband doesn't want to. My husband's not comfortable with it. And so husbands are very oftentimes the bottleneck. And I've said this many times in conferences that if God, I mean, if men would take this issue as seriously as God and our wives do, then there would be no children waiting for adoptive homes in America. I really believe that. Now, the children that are going to be available for adoption, because of Roe v. Wade, most of those, I believe, will be private adoptions where the birth mother chooses the adoptive family, but some I think will come as a result of entering into foster care because the women will maybe attempt to raise their children and maybe find that they're not fully equipped and not able and to give the children the home that the homes that they need and deserve, and so many of these children may end up in foster care as well, which is very, very sad, very tragic. But we may need, you know, we may need to, we may see an increase in the number of kids in foster care needing adoptive homes as well.
Yeah, so I love that you said you were gonna step on some toes, but I want to go off of that because you made a comment at the beginning of the podcast about not feeling the same way that you did about foster care and adoption 35 years ago. So tell me, did you and your wife have, did you always agree about adoption? Did she feel one way and you felt another way? Can you talk to us a little bit about essentially like how you guys have come to adopt seven kids? What did that look like?
And actually, what I think what I meant was that, and we'll have to check my words later, but I think I was saying that I wasn't passionate about it 35 years ago, but I
Oh,
was
you could
interested.
be right. Yeah.
Because I actually grew up with four cousins who were adopted. They were all adopted privately, and I was close with my cousins growing up. We would get together at you know their homes or at my grandparents' house, and we just had a great time, and I never saw them as my adopted cousins. They were just my cousins, and so it was very, very normal for me growing up. My dad came from a broken family too. He came from his biological father had been married before and had three children, and then his wife died, and then he married my grandmother, and so they had one child, and that's my father. So he had three half siblings, and then his father died, and then his mother remarried a widower who had three children. And so he had stepchildren and half children. I mean, stepbrothers and sisters and half brothers and sisters at that point. So, you know, blended families and adoption were just very, very normal for me growing up. And then I got involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters. It actually when in, when I was in college, I got involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I headed up a ministry that took kids from our college group up to a juvenile detention center and built relationships with at-risk kids. And so I think that plus the Big Brothers Big Sisters after college was sort of where God started to really give me a heart for at-risk kids, not just adoption, but at-risk kids. And then I met my wife and we started dating, and a few weeks into our dating, we actually got engaged very, very quickly. We were engaged 7 weeks after we got after our first date. So I don't remember if this discussion came. I guess this discussion came after we got officially engaged. But I just blurted out one night. I said, "I want to adopt some kids one day," and she said, "Well, I want to adopt some kids one day too." And that was it. And that's probably the easiest conversation, the easiest agreement any couple has ever had, because it was really something that God had laid on both our hearts. And we just talked about it, and that was it. And so our original plan was to adopt two and have two biological. And then once we started adopting from foster care, we just realized there was such a huge need. And we just believed that God was calling us to continue to do that. And so we did. And we ended up adopting all seven from foster care. But it was never really a question for us. A lot of couples you know, go back and forth on it and argue about it and all that kind of stuff. But for us, it was just, yeah, this is just what we're gonna do. And it became really a ministry for us. You know, we became sort of known for that at our church and in our community, and now you know, I'm kind of known for it, you know, speaking at these conferences all over the country and things like that. And that was kind of a shift that happened. I was working in another career, and ended up having to have back surgery, came out of that surgery, but believed God wasn't calling me back to that previous career. In the time leading up to surgery and recovering from surgery, I started connecting with people that were doing foster care, adoption, orphan care ministry through churches and parachurch ministries, and I realized that was what my passion was. And so I, after being cleared to work again, I sat down with our family over dinner one night, and I just dedicated our family to God to be used by Him to promote foster care, adoption, orphan care to the church. And I had no game plan, no strategic plan, no nothing. Just a belief that God was calling us to do this. And that was 17 years ago, and we haven't stopped.
Wow.
And until God says stop, I'm not going to stop. So, yeah.
So, okay, that's awesome. I loved hearing that story. So I love how you mentioned that you kind of grew up with cousins who were adopted into you, like they were just your cousins. There was nothing different
Right.
about them. I want to kind of shift for a minute to talk about to the teenagers who are listening to this podcast, who maybe they're female, maybe they're male, but they have this passion for fostering or adopting in the future, and that's something that they know they're interested in doing. What steps would you recommend that they're taking now? And this is a really important question too, because at Abundant Life, we're all about relationships and preparing well in the phases of dating and engagement for marriage. Is this a conversation that they should be having when they're dating someone, even though they might be 17 or 18? What would you kind of recommend as far as that goes?
Yeah, those are great questions. Well, one, I mean, if God has laid it on their heart now, and I mean, yeah, I see it. I see teenagers that are, serving in overseas orphanages or having a real heart for adoption and can't shut up about it. And so, it's very clear that God has laid it on their hearts. And if he has, then one thing I would do is just continue to study his word and just continue to read scripture and read God's heart for the orphan and just continue. I mean, just get that completely embedded in their hearts and their minds and just so that they're able to confidently share that with others and confidently know it for themselves. Also read books. If they're going to adopt kids, especially kids from an orphanage or from foster care one day, they need to be equipped to handle some of the behaviors that they might deal with because they're dealing with kids that have experienced trauma. And so just really equipping themselves early on for understanding what, having realistic expectations going in. And then another thing that they can do and look for ways to serve now too. Just there are ways that they can serve, as young people in college, young adults, et cetera. And look for ways to serve. But then the other thing is when they are dating, when it gets to that point where they're talking future and family and all that kind of stuff, I think it's a very important conversation to have. And because, like I said before, there's oftentimes tension between married couples when one of them is just has this burning desire to care for these, to adopt kids and care for kids in foster care and the other doesn't. And that can create real tension and no one needs that because, your marriage is sacred and your marriage needs to, you need to be unified in these things. And so talking about it early on and you may have you may meet someone that has very negative views toward it. Well, work, it doesn't mean you walk away, but kind of work through those. There may be reasons maybe they have beliefs that are based on myths about it, or maybe they've had a bad experience in their own family. But just if the person is open to it, then just studying scripture together and just say, hey, is this something that I just feel passionate about? Is this something that God can, that God is calling both of us to? If, again, if your relationship is reaching that point, I mean, obviously, first date when you're 16, 17 years old, you're not going to talk about it. But when it gets to that point, I mean, my wife and I talked early on, but again, we were engaged after 7 weeks. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a very important conversation to have. Just like, I mean, children are a very big part of marriage. I mean, this is the, once you start having children, they're with you. This is part of God's design for the world and for his people to have families. And so how those kids come into the world and I mean, into your family is very important and needs to be discussed. I really believe that.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that a huge thing that teenagers can be doing is educating themselves and seeking out resources to have realistic expectations about what caring for orphans, whether that's by foster care or adoption, can look like.
Right.
So, really, the last thing I want to talk with you about, because you kind of, are an expert in adoption because you've been through it personally, and you have such a passion for it is what are the challenges in creating a familial relationship with a child that you're fostering or adopting? Because I know that a lot of the times you may feel called to something, but we don't really think about what the process looks like after we commit to that
Sure.
thing that we feel called to. So I want to ask you to share a little bit about whether they are personal experiences or anything like that. Like, what are realistic expectations for creating those relationships?
When a child's trust in their primary caretaker, their mother, or their, you know, their, or usually their mother, but their mother or, and father sometimes, when a child's trust has been broken, at an early age, it can be very, very hard for that child to trust again. When you take in a child that's 4, 5, 6, 7, 12 years old, whatever, and they have grown to not trust adults, then you come into the picture and you say, I love you and you can trust me. Well, you're going to have to prove that. Whereas the child born to mom and dad and staying with mom and dad don't really have to prove it. It's just sort of there. For the adoptive parent, it's very oftentimes, again, specific types of adoption. Children adopted at birth generally don't have as hard a time trusting because they haven't experienced as much. Some of them still experience loss and abandonment issues, but they haven't experienced the broken trust as much as kids, you know, in foster care or in orphanages. The parents have to work really hard to build trust with those kids. And not expect change to happen overnight. I guess what I'm saying is that trust is one of the greatest challenges, and overcoming that trust and the trauma and all that the kids have experienced is something that many of these families face, and which is and another reason why many families, I mean, so many families struggle is because they try to do this in isolation. So it's important that if somebody in your church is taking in children and caring for children that have been traumatized, that the rest of the church wrap around them and love them as best they can, because they're going to have extra needs themselves because they're caring for kids with extra needs.
Yeah, that's such a great point. I think that kind of the last thing we were going to talk about, but I'm just cognizant of the time. We don't have a ton of time left. But like practical ways to help families who are fostering and adopting, and I think you hit on that right there, right? Like
Yeah.
offering them meals. That's something that is really easy that I've done for families in our church who are fostering in our county in particular in Pennsylvania. There's a great need for foster families. And a lot of families in our church do that. So something that we've done is make them meals and make meal trains for them and have people come around them and just take that one thing off of their plate for the day, you
Yeah,
know?
that's great.
So, and as a teenager, you can do that with your
Sure.
parents and help them with that. So offering resources, I'm going to link to the work that you've done with Anglicans for Life, Johnson, and just so people can kind of read some of the things that you've written about adoption and get ideas from those posts.
Sounds good.
I think this conversation is so good because I think that no matter what stage of life you're in, whether you're a teenager or a parent, or even if you're a youth leader or youth pastor listening to this, you may be caring for a child in the foster system in one way or another. You may be
Sure.
friends with them at school, you may actively have them in your home, or they may be part of your church or youth group, and there's always ways as God's people that we can come around them.